previously on, but you're wrong.
Yeah, can I get my Sambuca shaken, not stirred?
He's just ordering Coors Lights.
Hey, can I get a Coors Light shaken, not stirred? And they're like, are you sure, sir? Yeah, that's what it said, right?
I want it shaken. It just explodes all over his face. Yeah, you just want to fuck? This is... Oh, I can't. This is But You're Wrong. I am Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bodella.
Keith, what is going on?
Not much. I've been very productive, and I've managed to watch several movies, actually, lately.
Anything in particular?
Well, I watched... there's a few things that I've been watching, but I watched part of Escape from New York.
Oh, yeah.
And
a classic.
I forgot that the president is Blofeld from You Only Live Twice.
Oh, I'm trying to think of the actor's name.
Shit, I had it, and I thought of it earlier today, and now I can't think of it.
That's okay.
I don't know.
No, you know what? It's not okay, because it's not like us to not look it up.
So I'm looking it up now, but I was thinking then, I never noticed that before, but I was thinking that now I should always think of the fact that Escape from New York is an alternate reality where Blofeld won in You Only Live Twice, and then he decided to make himself president of the U.S.
Well, yeah. And I mean, he is a very, let's say, conniving kind of scheming madman where, you know, he probably could.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm assuming he just took over the world and just said, you know what, I'm going to be president. And I imagine when his plan succeeded, he would, the type of world that becomes Escape from New York is that kind of world, so...
Yeah, I still don't know. The whole plot of Escape from New York is just terrible.
I mean, the whole plot from You Only Live Twice is terrible, too. But
yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. You Only Live Twice does suck.
You were about to argue. You were like, now, wait a minute. It has a lot of good points.
No, it's pretty stupid.
I have a whole theory where the entire movie was really based off the fact of them looking at who they got to play the Bond girl. What's her face? Or was it? Is it You Only Live Twice? Damn.
Wait, You Only Live Twice is with the Asian Bond, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the MI6 headquarters that's in the boat under Hong Kong Harbor. Yeah, the sunken, like, Queen Mary ship or whatever.
Yeah, and everything's like a weird Tim Burton angle.
Yeah, exactly. There's no crooked smokestacks, though. Well, actually, maybe there is, but...
hang on, let me see, because now I'm...
You're a bit curious?
I'm getting myself confused, and I may be... about to fuck this one up.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time. The Asian Bond is great.
Asian Sean Connery?
Yeah, Asian Sean Connery.
They make it seem like they go through this whole procedure, but really they just give him a bad haircut and like tell him to hunch over a little bit. And they change his eyebrows slightly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His eyebrows are different, and they give him like an awesome, terrible bowl cut of a toupee. Let's go, Keith. I haven't got all day.
I really thought that there was a... What the fuck movie am I thinking of? Okay, I don't know what movie I'm thinking of then.
Okay.
I don't think I'm... Wait, am I... I'm not thinking of Diamonds Are Forever, am I?
Well, what are you thinking of? I see, I don't know what's going through your head right now.
You're like, I am completely lost. No, I thought, what's the one where they do the big build-up to basically... Oh, no, you know what? It is Diamonds for Forever. I thought it was... I mean, they're both terrible. But I thought it was the... I thought it was the build-up to a joke about Jill St. John's butt, basically. Because there's that part of the end where she's got the cassette tape in the back of her bikini.
Yeah.
And and Blofeld just goes, showing a little more cheek than usual, aren't we?
That's what you were trying to figure out?
I forgot that it was Diamonds Are Forever and not You Only Live Twice. Because You Only Live Twice, it was just the Asian girl, I guess. I guess there's no white women in that one.
Which is weird.
I mean, except for Moneypenny.
Well, yeah, but that. But now Moneypenny's black.
That's right.
Which is crazy. I mean, it's not a problem. It's just.
Yeah, well, weird. I mean, I don't give a shit. But.
Oh, she's hot.
Yeah. I'm cool with it.
She's actually hotter than Moneypenny usually is.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because Moneypenny is usually kind of, like, you bet. Moneypenny's like the woman that's like, she's not that great looking, and no one's like pining to fuck her, but you know she puts out, and you bet she's into some good shit. Like, you bet Moneypenny, she's in for a wild ride with Moneypenny.
Yeah, but she also has like the good side that you can show to, you know, your mom if she was alive.
Well, yeah, no. Like, no, Moneypenny is the a lady on the street, but a freak in the bed.
Yes.
Yeah, like she's probably all sorts of raunchy. But when it's time to go out to dinner, you know, a night at the opera, you know, you bring Moneypenny, she dresses nice, she acts like a lady, but shit's getting wild when you get home.
Yeah.
And that's really the perfect woman right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you want a woman, but you want a freak later on. Or at least, you know, I'm okay with that.
Greg DiNicola, relationship therapist.
Oh, that's the last thing I should be a therapist on.
You're just a terrible version of Dr. Phil.
Oh, the worst. I mean, you've heard my story. I'm just absolutely should not be anywhere near a relationship therapy session.
If only Dr. Phil was more like you, then you would get people on daytime TV being like, well, Dr. Phil, we took your advice and we tried anal for the first time. And, I mean, it was kind of weird. But, you know, after 45 minutes of trying, I mean, it seemed like it might be good.
Well, just keep going. You know, if you don't, if first you don't succeed, try again. And, you know, if she says something that annoys you, just leave. Just don't, you know, just run out. Just don't even pay attention.
You know what you do? What you do, if a woman is bugging you, you tell them you're going to go out for a pack of cigarettes, and then you never come back.
Yeah, you just never show up again, and she'll think you're dead, probably, and you won't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, pretty much all of that stuff I've done. So.
Wait, you said you were going out for a pack of cigarettes, you never came back?
Not really. I wish.
But just made terrible decisions in relationships.
I never know what to do.
Here's the thing. I think everybody does. I think people just don't talk about it. Because I've made terrible decisions, too.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we all have. And you know what? I guess just not everyone's an open book. You know, like me and you will say whatever about a terrible relationship. But I guess, you know, even people that you think are nice and wholesome, or, you know, don't make bad decisions about relationships, they do. They just don't tell you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's not like you and me would just, like, say whatever the fuck comes to our heads.
Yeah. Which we probably shouldn't do all the time, but.
Yeah, I just don't know how else to be.
Yeah, why not? I mean, just whatever. I mean, since just started saying anything, people seem to like me more than they did before, so why not?
See, the thing is if there's one thing you can say about Greg DiNicola, it's that he's honest. And yes. That's, to me, that's pretty important. So I don't care. You know, whatever. Like it, you don't like it, whatever. I'm going to just tell you exactly what I'm thinking. And, it's good with me.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
6 to 1, half dozen of another.
I hate that saying. I fucking despise it, Keith.
My dad says that all the time.
Yeah, well, see, I don't think me and your dad were going to get along anyways because of, he's not a big fan of Boston. But
that's true. That's true. Yeah, he probably
that's all right.
Wasn't. I mean, he would show you nothing but the utmost respect, but he would probably also bust your balls about Boston, and he'd probably secretly dislike you.
Yeah, that having been said.
He probably goes to bed at night talking to my mom and be like, I don't know how much longer this podcast can go on. I mean, Keith's doing it with the guy from Boston. I don't know.
This fucking kid, he's got the fucking Red Sox tattooed to him.
I don't think he knows that.
Nah, probably not.
Well, now he does. Now he doesn't.
Yeah, he does now.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't listen.
I got Boston written up my arm. And... oh, well.
Where the fuck were we? Oh, so I watched Escape from New York.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I watched part of that. I watched about 5 minutes of Double Team.
Double Team.
It stars Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dennis Rodman.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It was...
I've never seen it, but...
I don't think I've ever seen it either. I think I've seen parts of it, maybe, but... Because I had... Or I've seen a trailer for it.
Well, that's just as good, I'm sure.
Somewhere it was rattling around in my head, and I was like, oh, Double Team! Because I was going through the guide, and I saw it, and I went, oh... Let's see what's going on Double Team. And it was just starting.
I've thought that too, but it had nothing to do with that movie.
it was bad. It was really, really bad. And the dialogue was awful.
Oh, the dialogue was bad in a Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dennis Rodman film?
Oh, it was...
Tell me something else, Keith.
I like how you say it like it's a genre. You're like, oh, the dialogue was bad in a Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dennis Rodman movie. Like they made more than one.
That's a thing, right? It's a widely accepted genre of film.
Like somewhere in the mid-90s, everybody lost their fucking mind and just started making a shitload of Van Damme, Dennis Rodman movies.
Yeah. I mean, remember that Dennis Rodman, Jean-Claude Scorsese film? It was the best of the bunch.
I mean, Scorsese obviously just did it for the paycheck, but...
Yeah, well, he did a couple of those.
Yeah. But, oh, it was... I couldn't even tell you what happened. Like, all I know is Jean-Claude went to see Rodman in a club. Found him in a back room... Getting like his belly button tattooed, like around his belly button tattooed.
And, that doesn't even seem that strange for him.
And he does something, and Jean-Claude is like, "That looks like it hurts." And Rodman is just like, just looks at him, and he's wearing goofy fucking sunglasses, of course. Sticks out his tongue, and I guess he has a tattoo on his tongue, and just goes, "Nah, man, that hurt." And you're just like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, that sounds like a great start of a film.
And then you find out by them switching, I think, to the next scene that Rodman is an arms dealer. And they're like, he's showing them all this artillery and stuff. And then Van Damme accidentally like activates some kind of grenade. But I think it's like a ring or something, I think.
Alright, sounds very realistic.
Yeah, and like he opens the top of the ring and Robin's like, yo man, you open that? And Van Damme's like, yeah. And he has to throw it across the room. And he's like, we have a policy here. You break it, you buy it. And then it went to commercial, and I went, all right, that's it. I'm done.
Like, Frank is, that's it. I've had enough.
3 minutes and I'm out.
Oh, no. I'm more. Surprised you last that long.
It was pretty bad. Although I did watch, I think it was Saturday, I watched All the President's Men.
Now that is a very good film.
I forgot how much I love that movie. That is a very good movie. Even though it only covers the first, like, 7 months of the investigation, it is very good.
The ending is always such a letdown with, like how it's just kind of like the newspaper and, like, you're like, I want to see more fucking Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford investigating. But
yeah, and just, like, trying to trick people into saying shit. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's such a good film.
It's so good, and it's so weird nowadays to watch it and be like, this is completely not what it's like. And it, like, they went to such a level of accuracy in that movie.
Yeah.
Because I think when they were making that movie, the Washington Post, and I might be making part of this up, but I'm fairly sure it's accurate. I think around that time they were going through a renovation and they were getting rid of, like, all the desks and stuff that they used to have.
Okay.
So the production company went in and salvaged all the desks that they were getting rid of, or, like, bought them from them, so that they could build the set with the actual desks that were used at the time.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
It's either that or, like, they went looking for those desks, and some are the actual ones and some aren't, but they went through and got it as accurate as possible. But, like, it doesn't, like, they're taking, I love the investigation scenes where they're going through and Robert Redford's on the phone just calling people and, like, trying to make connections and stuff.
Yeah.
By calling all these people, and, like, they have to go through all these cards to figure out who in the White House pulled a book out on Kennedy. And they go through all the requests from, like, 2 years worth, and it's all on these little pieces of paper or these little cards. And, you know, they have to go through their notebooks, their little reporter notebooks, to try and, like, piece together the story as they write it and stuff. And that would never happen today.
No.
That is so far removed.
It really is. I mean, and you think, I mean, the investigation wouldn't even resemble anything like it did today, you know, if it was done today.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing is, the story, or everything would have broken so differently, because research would have gone a lot faster. But also, you would have had people that were more willing to talk and be on camera to get, like, their 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Because I feel like a lot of people probably at that time still had, I don't know, maybe like a, I don't want to say a false sense of, like, pride, but kind of being like, you know, well, no, it's not even that. It's just that whole idea of the 15 minutes of fame probably didn't even really exist back then.
Well, who came up with that phrase, 15 minutes of fame? Because I feel like that's been around, but now it's like everybody's, it's a lot more prevalent. Like, everybody's really looking for it. It was Andy Warhol who said in 1968 that in the future everyone will be famous for 15 minutes. I guess then it was still a fairly relatively new concept.
Yeah, that makes sense. Andy Warhol, though.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's, nowadays everyone would really be, like, clamoring to get on and talk about it and be on Dr. Phil or fucking Dr. Oz. Probably Dr. Oz more than Dr. Phil.
Dr. Oz. Yeah, no. Who's clamoring to be on Dr. Phil nowadays?
I don't know. I mean, I know the people clamoring to be on Maury are people looking to try and figure out who the father is, but...
Right, that's true. You and Rachel are going, what, May?
to go on Dr. Maury?
Yeah, you are not the father. Or, well, I don't know.
But no, I know I'm not her father.
Well, that's good. I mean, since you're engaged.
I don't think there's a reason to go on.
No, I mean, you're probably right.
I mean, I am right.
All right, I'm just making shit up.
I mean, it didn't really make a whole lot of sense, so just...
Shut up.
Anyway, yeah, so I love All the President's Men. I would, if they had covered the whole thing and added like an extra 2 hours, I would watch that.
My biggest complaint about that movie is that it's too short.
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted me to come up with anything else as my biggest, I don't even know what my second complaint would be, other than it's just too goddamn short.
Yeah, I don't have a second complaint.
Well,
my second
it's not even that it's short, it's just that it ends before it gets really interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, it's I mean, I think, and I haven't read the book. I should read the book. I've read about what happened, but I haven't actually read their book about it, and I should. But I think the thing is that the movie covers basically them trying to figure out, delve into the story more. And it all starts off because the one guy finds it interesting that the Cuban nationals were the guys that broke into the Watergate, right? Were the ones that they caught?
I believe so, yes.
They break in. They get arrested, and then the next day they're having the bail hearing and everything set. And attorneys are assigned to them because people don't think that they have attorneys. Or, you know, they don't have attorneys, so some are appointed to them. And then it turns out that they have their own attorneys. But he finds it interesting because apparently they didn't even make a phone call from prison. So who hired the attorneys to represent these robbers? And that kind of launches the whole thing. And it ends up, I think the point of the movie is they want to end it at where they figure out who the fifth name is that handles the slush fund that paid for the robbers.
Mm-hmm.
And once they figure out who it is, that seems like a good place to kind of end it, you know? And I think that makes sense.
Right, because at that point it becomes kind of a damning accusation of Nixon.
Yeah, I mean, that's really where the story breaks and where everything just kind of, where you can clearly go, this is how they got everything to kind of start really snowball into getting Nixon out.
Right. It's like at that point you're like, he knew. He definitely knew.
Yeah. So I think I agree that I feel like the film is too short at points, but also at the same time I'm like, you know what? I think that if they had tried to include more of what happened after, it wouldn't be quite as exciting.
Hmm. You know,
because I feel like after that story broke, it was only a matter of time before, like, Nixon got dragged into it and all this other stuff happened. And there's a lot of suspense and stuff built into them trying to figure out who all these people are and trying to figure out ways to get people to talk to them.
I gotta watch it again. I've seen it a couple times, and I feel like the last time I've seen it was probably a couple years ago, and I feel like maybe my opinion of it, because I have a very high opinion of the movie, but my view of its length and everything, maybe it, I don't know. I need to maybe double check my feelings on it.
It's just such a good movie, and there's so many good things, and I love the scene it's well edited together too, and I really like the scene where Redford's on the phone, like I said, trying to follow leads and calling people, and they cut in scenes of him writing stuff on his notepad and crossing stuff out and circling things and like writing stuff down,
right.
And trying to make all the connections of how things connect into it. And that's such a really good scene. And there's a funny part, too, where he gets a guy who only speaks Spanish. And he's like, habla English? No? Hold on. And he's like, hey, any of you guys speak English? No, I mean, Spanish? Any of you guys speak Spanish? No? All right. And he just finally, like, gets tired and hang up.
Yeah,
but it's such a good little moment in a series of him just trying to make calls and just constantly like crossing people off a list as he's trying to like track down who this one guy is, because all he has is a name.
Yeah,
and he's trying to track down this one guy, and then they're like, "No, I think he's at this guy's office." Oh no, you're looking for him, and he works with the CIA, and all this stuff just suddenly starts building, and you're like, "Holy shit!" Like yeah. He found all this stuff out from people just willing to talk to him. But yeah, there's a lot of really good stuff in there, and there's a couple really good tracking shots in there too. And I'm a big sucker for a good tracking shot.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, you're a pretty big Scorsese fan, which that helps.
There's a really good one where they're trying to get confirmation. I think they're trying to get confirmation on the fifth name. I think that's when it comes in.
Yeah,
and. Hoffman's in the office, and he gets the nonverbal confirmation from the guy. And as soon as he opens up the door to run out to tell Woodward that they got it, he opens the door. It's like, Woodward, we got it. And he starts running across the newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs like towards the camera, turns away, and the camera just follows him. And he turns away, runs back towards the camera as he's zigzagging between the desks, and he runs into Redford, and he's like, I got it. Like, I got it. We got to print it. So both of them then run across the newsroom again the rest of the way to the elevators to get to the editor-in-chief to tell him that they got the confirmation to print it.
Right.
And all that's done in one shot. And I'm like, that's such a good just... Like, there's no cuts. It's all continuous, so you kind of feel that suspense building, like, that's in the scene. That should be in the scene.
Mm.
Look for it. It's good. It's good.
I gotta watch again. Now, the director there, Pakula, right? Yeah. Alan Pakula?
Yeah, I think it's Pakula. I don't know. I can't remember the first name. I think you're right.
I think it's Alan. I'm trying to think of any. Did he do anything else noteworthy?
I don't remember.
I'm looking him up right now here. Oh, okay. The Pelican Brief.
Oh, really?
Which was anything but brief.
I mean, the movie is 2 hours long.
The Devil's Own with, is that Martin Sheen? No. Harrison Ford, Brad Pitt.
I don't think I ever saw that. Let's see. Did Presumed Sophie's Innocence, Choice. Sophie's Choice.
What an easy choice.
Yeah, I just.
Nothing else really noteworthy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they're good films. The, now the writer. Who adapted it for the screen is fucking awesome. Probably one of the best screenwriters of all time, William Goldman.
Oh, okay.
Who did
Princess Bride?
Did Princess Bride, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, the original Stepford Wives, Marathon Man,
Ghost in the Darkness,
Chaplin,
Heat. He did Heat. Wait.
No, it wasn't.
He did the other Heat. There's another Heat.
Yeah, I don't think he did the Heat that, because I thought.
No, he did a Heat with Burt Reynolds.
He did Absolute Power, which was pretty good. Misery.
Yep.
We left out Misery, yeah.
Bridge Too Far?
Yeah. He's done a lot of really good screenplays.
How is there another Heat?
I don't know what you want me to tell you on this one. I mean his Heat came first, so I mean I can't really.
Yeah, I guarantee it. I guarantee the second Heat is better.
Yeah, I mean,
he did Hearts in Atlantis with Anthony Hopkins.
Based on a Stephen King novel or short story.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really liked it though.
I don't think your face liked it.
Well, that's for damn sure.
I don't think I've ever seen it, to be honest. I don't think I've ever seen it.
No.
But yeah, so I watched all that, and I watched some other movies off and on, and parts of movies and stuff. But I also watched my new favorite, part of my new favorite genre of reality TV, which is the
gold shows.
No, which is the non-reality reality show.
Okay.
Explain, please. For example, like shows that are obviously staged quite a bit, but they're like, oh, it's a reality show, but it's obviously staged, or like there's some kind of oversight to it.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, most of them are.
Well, I mean, like in terms of like where the plot goes, really.
Okay.
Because there's some reality shows where like clearly the producers can't have too much influence on kind of the plot of the show. Like they can kind of control how it's cut together. But I'm kind of digging the shows where clearly like the plot's being manipulated. For example, a show called Myrtle Manor.
Myrtle Manor?
Yes. It is a trailer park in North Carolina. It's one of the Carolinas. I think it's North Carolina.
Like as in like Myrtle Beach?
I guess it is.
Because I think that's South Carolina. Although right. Myrtle Beach is supposed to be very nice.
Maybe it is. Hang on.
I mean, I'm sure there is a shitty section, but
you know what? Hang on. We're looking shit up, so let's just look that up.
Okay.
Myrtle Manor. Survey says Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Okay. So there is a there's a trailer park called Myrtle Manor, and it is run by this woman named Becky, because her father was like, well, I'm retired, like he started it, or his father started it, and he was like, well, I don't really want to like run it anymore, I'll still own it, but I don't want to run it, so you handle the day-to-day shit. So it follows her, and then it follows a selection of the tenants.
Okay.
But the most recent episode, actually, I shouldn't say the most recent episode, because I think there was one on Sunday that I didn't watch, but I think I watched last week's one, where they were like, we're going to hold a beauty pageant, and we're going to have everybody attend, and in the audience there are people who we're assuming are the other tenants, but then every female character on the show has to participate. And she even says, like, in this meeting, like, it's a requirement. And I'm like, in what fucking world can your landlord be like, you have to participate in a beauty pageant?
Oh, so it sounds, like, very realistic. You know?
Yeah. It's essentially like a wacky 70s sitcom.
Okay.
where they're like, we have to throw a beauty pageant, otherwise the park will close down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so they have to throw a beauty pageant, and all the girls participate, and there's one gay guy that is part of the beauty salon in the park.
Naturally.
And he dresses up in drag to host it, and I think the landlord wins, despite that there's several more attractive girls at the park, but...
Mm.
There's a group of girls that are selling, the way they pay their rent is they sell hot dogs on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Out of a little, like, trailer that they hitch onto their Jeep. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure you need, like, a license to do that.
You can't just be selling food, you know, just, like, that's not good. Like, I mean, you can't just be peddling fucking food poisoning.
Literally, one of the episodes is them just making hot dogs in a, like, boiling hot dogs in a big pot in their trailer kitchen. And then they just wrap them in aluminum foil and then just go on the boardwalk and are like, you want my hot dog?
Yeah. See, if you could just sell food like that, I would have done it already. But you can't.
They refer to them in the show as wiener girls. So you, in your reality, in your reality show, you would have been
a wiener boy,
wiener Greg,
wiener guy.
Oh my God! How good would it be if you and like Dan had to be roommates, and you had to sell wieners on the beach up in Boston?
You know. I would probably enjoy that more than I'd enjoy my current life. I would sell wieners on the beach. Can I walk? Never mind. I was gonna.
Can you walk around with your cock out? No.
Yes. No, although no one would ever be impressed, and they would just be like, "Ugh, get out of here!" And no one would ever buy a hot dog. So. No, that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna say no unless we try to make it a reality show.
Well, in that case, anything goes.
Yeah, you know, you don't even have to take your dick out. We'll just blur your crotch.
You just blur, yeah. You use have you seen the app there, the Nudify app?
No.
Oh, dude, it's excellent. I don't know if. It's for the App Store or whatever. I don't know. I'm assuming it's for like Android and stuff too. And what you do is you first select like a skin color. So you like say I have a picture of you. So I'll just take and I'll select like just a small section of like say your arm. And that'll be the skin color that I use. And then you can just kind of paint an area, so like I'll go down by your crotch and just paint like a dick. You know, it doesn't have to be exact because then the resulting picture is you with a big blurry mass, but it blurs it out so that it looks like there's a big fleshy cock underneath. It's awesome.
I'm glad you said big there, but
well, yeah, I mean, but it's awesome. It is a great app.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know who came up with it, but they're an absolute genius.
Wow. I mean, who was sitting there and was like, you know what? I'm going to make an app that'll nudify people.
Yeah, the nudification app.
All right, I just searched for it. Let's see. There's Grindr, which is a gay, bi, and curious guy app. Which
no,
I don't think that's it.
I mean, I also have that, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Adam for Adam Radar, gay dating. No.
No.
KG dogfighting. No. Growler.
No.
Growler gay bears near you.
Why is it all gay stuff? Or dogfighting?
I don't know. Safe browser, the web filter, interesting love facts. Ooh, vibrator, classic.
Oh, no. No, it's none of those.
I'm assuming the vibrator classic app just leaves the vibrator function of your phone on.
That would be, well, I'm gonna say that would be awesome. I'm not sure why I would even care, but you know, I guess some women might, or they should just go to Brookstone and buy a vibrator.
You mean like shower massage?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Oh, wait. I went further down, and there is a Vibrator Classic Pro for 99 cents. The other one is free. What is the fucking difference?
The Pro. No. Well, check out the features, because you know, like usually they list out like what it does.
No ads in Pro version. This is the Pro version of Vibrator Classic, which lets you create your own vibration patterns.
Oh.
You can also save the patterns you have created and name them so you can use them later on. What would you name them?
Oh, that is good. Name them. Like, that's like a feature. Like, ooh, you get to name your vibration pattern. Who gives a shit?
Is your boyfriend away or you just want to have a nice time? This is your app. Period. There's no question mark on that.
Oh.
Period. Choose the mode you like and have a wonderful, two L's, orgasm. I wonder where this was made.
Why? I mean, you're gonna stick your phone on your cooch?
I guess so. I don't know.
I mean, what the fuck is wrong with you? You can't find any other way to get off?
Surprisingly, 9 people have decided to rate this. It has 8 5-star reviews and 1 1-star review.
What does the 1-star review say?
I don't think I can actually see. I don't think it'll tell me. I think it just said, I think there's just...
Oh, it's just a number rating. It's like, this is terrible. I couldn't name my own vibration patterns.
There's just the only review that actually has anything written just says the title is cool and says can't resist a habit.
Ew. Shut up. Can't resist to have it. I mean, this must have been made in some stupid foreign country.
Well, here's the fucked up thing. Over 1,000 people have downloaded it.
Really? Well, I mean, there are a lot of dumb people.
I guess so.
How long has it existed, does it say?
Hang on, let me go back to it. December 29th, 2011.
All right, so that's a while. Because, I mean, I feel like we've had over 1,000 retards have downloaded our podcast and... We've been out less than that.
Well, yes, but I feel like we probably shouldn't call them retards.
Sorry, everyone.
Well, plus I would hope that they're downloading multiple episodes.
That's true, too. All right. You're not the kind of people that would download this app.
No, I mean, some of them might be. And if you are, let us know, just out of curiosity.
Actually, yeah, I'd really like to know.
I'm just...
I like to know how it is. Actually, Keith, I really think you should download the free version.
Why would I download the free version?
It's free. Don't need to take anything that's free, so to speak.
Anyway. Yeah, so... Wait, how'd we get on this? The Nudify app.
Nudify.
Because you draw big wieners on me. Big pictures of me dicks. For some reason. Not that I judge. I'm cool with that.
I'll make one and we can put it up on the book if you want.
No, I'd rather not.
No, I mean it's all edited, you know.
I know, but somebody's gonna think it's actually real and then.
You might be up for that big promotion and then you won't get it.
Yeah, honey, I'm up for a big promotion. I'm 2 weeks away from retirement and they just fired me. I was so close.
Oh.
But yeah, so okay, so we talk about that. We talk about shit I watched over the weekend and Myrtle Manor and. But yeah, it's really like it was a sitcom, and then they were like, "Well, let's tweak it to make people think it's real."
I have never heard of it. Like, this is you mentioning it is the first I've ever heard of that.
The only reason I know about it is because of The Soup.
Oh.
But everybody's like a little too ridiculous on there, and you're just like, "This, I don't think this is real." And then you get to the point where they're like, we're going to have a beauty pageant and everybody has to attend. And you're like, how could a landlord make you do that?
Is it like all women?
Yeah, it's all women that do it. But still, like, and I mean, the landlord is a woman. But still, I feel like the landlord can't make you compete in a beauty pageant.
I mean, it sounds like a shitty version of The Real Housewives or whatever. It's like the Real Housewives of Upper Michigan.
No, there's other characters on there that are guys.
Oh, okay.
Like they have, and you're they just have saying the
beauty pageant.
Yeah. The beauty pageant is just all women, but they have actually they have other characters. Like they have the young new guy that just moved in, and all the girls have a crush on him.
Oh yeah, and he's then probably getting some mad pussy.
And then there's the bad boy guy who's been there for a while and is all also tatted, mad tatted pussy. Up. Yeah. Well, he has a sort of girlfriend who moved out and they might get back together. I don't know. Apparently, that though,
sounds very intriguing.
Apparently, though, he might have been he might have pissed on her bed, though, when they were fighting, because she used to live with him. And then he thought she was fucking the young dude. And then she came back to get her stuff, and she was like, I think he pissed on my bed.
Oh, wow.
But my favorite character is the token black guy.
Yeah.
Who is the security agent.
Of course.
And I can't remember his name, but he has, most of the time, like a little Hitler mustache.
Oh, man.
So The Soup calls him Blitler. Or Black Hitler. So, but he's like, he talks and he just says these ridiculous things. And he, when they're talking about the peeing on the bed, he's like, you know, I'm not ashamed to say that, you know, I might have pissed on my own bed at one point. I mean, it happens. And you're just like, what?
Huh.
You just admitted to pissing on a bed? But he also has a crush on one of the older white women at the place. So, love is blossoming. And then they totally knew what they were doing when they cut this part together, because they have him come in and he's like, you know, I got invited to for some shagging lessons, and I was wondering if you would like to shag with me. And take some shagging lessons so we could shag together. And then it's like, oh, by the way, shagging is like a southern dance. It's like a proper southern dance. And you're just like, oh, damn it.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what the producers were thinking when they put that in.
Yeah. But it was fairly entertaining.
Shagging.
But yeah, this the black security guard, or Blitler, is probably one of the worst security guards ever.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You just, anything goes.
Well, like, he's like he's just walking around at night, and he just, there's just a cardboard box, like, folded up, laying on the sidewalk, and he's like, I wonder what this is. And he looks, and he goes, oh, kind of looks like blood or something, like somebody might be covering something up. I'll have to check that out. And then he just walks away.
That's just it.
Hey, he's like, oh, looks like maybe blood or something. So I'm gonna,
do they ever come back to it?
No, not yet.
No, that's just never mentioned again.
And then he accidentally starts a fire in his car.
His own
car, because he lights incense in his car.
Why? Is he trying to get the weed smell out of his car?
Well, he says that. He's like, I had some incense lit in the car. And, you know, I thought I had a cup set up, so I thought the ashes would go in the cup. But apparently they went on this this paper cup holder. Like one of those trays you get at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yep.
And he's like, and that seemed to start a fire. And then the landlord and her cousin come by, and they're like, "What is going on over here?" And he's like, "Oh no, there was just a little fire, but I took care of it." And the cousin is like, "Are you smoking weed?" And he's like, why would you say that? And she's like, he's like, what had happened was I was burning some incense to make the car smell good, because I like the way the car smells when there's incense in it. And yeah. She's like, well, people burn incense to cover up the smell of weed. And it's obviously a cut together scene where it's just way too long held on him and her just kind of staring at each other.
Yeah,
like they go back and forth. And then she just laughs and goes, "Ah, I'm just kidding." And he's like, I wouldn't do anything like that.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, this is terrible, but I can't not watch because of how redneck they are.
It sounds fantastic, and I'm almost disappointed I've never heard of it before. Yeah.
It's on the Learning Channel.
Oh yeah, they should really have their name revoked by now.
I would definitely. It's entertaining. It's so bad. I find it so entertaining.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, a lot of shit like that, especially reality shows, are like that right now.
Yeah.
It's just so stupid. You just gotta watch.
And I enjoy it because it's just so written like a reality, or like a, it's a reality show written like a sitcom.
Yeah. Because
the landlady is constantly afraid of her daddy revoking her privileges and firing her. And so she's trying to keep everything together, and there's all this other stuff going on, and all these shenanigans.
How old is she?
She's got to be, like, in her fucking 40s or something. She's got to be, like, okay. 40. So there's all these shenanigans going on in the meantime. And then they're like, oh, well, now we have, in this week's episode, we have a pool. And in this week's episode, a beauty pageant. And in this week's episode, this. And it's all, like, one thing. And then they have these other little things going on. Like, I feel like one trailer should just have one guy and two women, and the guy's pretending to be gay.
It's a little Three's Company action?
Yes, I feel like that's exactly what it should be. Like, they're just going to introduce that one time.
They should. I'd be down for it.
Yeah, and the landlady's going to come over and be like, well, that doesn't make sense.
It sounds great.
It's worth a watch.
I might check it out.
Because it literally is written like a sitcom, and I can't get enough of it.
It sounds terrible.
It's quite bad.
Yeah.
I would rather watch Escape from New York than that.
Well, Escape from New York is entertaining.
That's true. The first the first bit was funny. Hang on. What?
It's amazing.
What's amazing?
Myrtle Manor.
Hang on, I'm getting a message from the booth here. I'm being told that Myrtle Manor is amazing, and it's amazing, and I should shut up about bad-mouthing it.
Oh, yeah. Rachel, you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
No, she's just not as honest as I am.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty bad, though. But in a good way, in a good way. I think that's a good closeout point.
Okay.
Unless you have something to add.
No.
All right, so that's been today's episode of But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Bordello.
I am Greg DiNicola.
Check us out, facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong, Twitter at BYW Podcast, YouTube BYW Podcast, where we have the Benny Hill Bond and some of the other videos for Jabba the Hutt and Return of the Jedi. And my books, Work in Progress and Not My Problem, over on Amazon. And remember, folks, no regrets. And you know what? No joke this week. Just
go watch All the President's Men, because it's a really good movie.
I like it a lot.